And that is the first stanza of O Christ, our true and only light. And this is also the first live program since last Thursday, what with the ice storm and then the Martin Luther King holiday. So today is Tuesday, January the 17th in the year of our Lord, 2017. And I wasn't sure that I was going to get here. There's a big accident on Highway 270. And I was sure that Pastor Smith wouldn't be here. But guess what? He is here. Hi.
Yeah, I actually got ahead of you this morning.
You got ahead of me.
I was here ahead of you. I was worried about you, too. I didn't know if you were going to make it in time.
Yeah, did you go 270?
Yes. I went south on 270, and the traffic was starting to back up just as I got on. As I got on the expressway, it was all backed up all the way down to 44, Interstate 44. It was really terrible.
It was a big 18-wheeler, they said, had overturned and caught on fire. And right now, there's only the right lane on each side being able to get through, and they're still sending ambulances, et cetera, there. So it was kind of interesting.
Hope not. I suppose there's some people hurt.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I went Ballas, which is kind of parallel to 270. And the people going north were just stacked up on that road because they had gotten off to... But we're not to be talking about traffic. We're to be talking about, O Christ, our true and only light... written by Martin Luther?
No, Johann Hermann. Johann Hermann, a little bit after Luther. He lived from 1585 to 1647, but it is translated by our good friend Catherine Winkworth. We're very familiar with her translation.
Boy, she's got a lot of translations.
Oh, I'll tell you. She
seems to know how to have done it.
Yeah, that's right.
So, without further ado, this is under Mission and Witness, and it's also for the third Sunday in the Epiphany, right?
It is the third Sunday, right. Third Sunday after the Epiphany.
So, would you read stanza one?
Okay. One thing before I get into reading it, one thing that I noticed about this hymn, each verse deals with reaching out to people in a little bit different situation, if you notice, as I read it. O Christ, our true and only light, enlighten those who sit in night. Let those afar now hear your voice, and in your fold with us rejoice.
So, how do you see the people in that verse?
Well, I see this as, the outright mission prospects that are, perhaps in faraway foreign countries that rarely, if ever, have heard the gospel. I mean, they are in utter darkness. They are afar.
Yes.
They are brought near by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, of course, the hope, the wish is that in our fold they would with us rejoice. Enlighten those who sit in night. Utter darkness. Let those afar now hear your voice, and in your fold with us rejoice. You think about the darkness of Islam, for instance.
Right.
Utter darkness, or any these people that they believe in all sorts of anything. Of course, any ism that is not Christianity is darkness.
Yeah. For example, in the New Testament, they make a big point about the Jews being near and the Gentiles being afar.
Right.
And that's what you have here in that stanza. Let those afar now hear your voice, and in your fold with us rejoice. So you would say this first stanza is to those outside of the chosen people, the Jews, and God is bringing them into his fold. Why the word fold?
Well, the fold, of course, that's a whole church. The fold, of course, we think of, of sheep
that's
and
right.
lambs being brought to the fold.
Yes. And so Jesus is definitely not only our light, he's also our shepherd, and we are his sheep.
Our good shepherd, you bet.
Okay, stanza two.
All right. Now, a notice, just a little bit different here. Fill with radiance of your grace the souls now lost in error's maze. Enlighten those whose inmost minds some dark delusion haunts and blinds.
So what's different about these
people? It's not a great difference. I mean, they're still in darkness, filled with radiance of your grace, but there's delusion that they're in error's maze. Maybe not they've heard the gospel, but there's some. It's saying a little bit differently that these people are under the bondage of error, a worldview that is just that has deluded them. They still are lost, of course.
Would you not consider that these could be believers who've fallen away too?
Oh yeah, but now that comes out a little bit later, and gently call those gone astray.
Yes.
See, that's more for that verse.
Okay, so the first one would be those who are in the darkness. The other ones, those that you're saying are lost in error's maze.
Yeah, I would put them both, of course, in the same category. There's a lostness in both, but it's just saying it a little bit differently.
Yeah, I can understand that. This is why this hymn is mission and witness.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Some churches have a sign as you go out the driveway.
Yes.
What is it?
You are now entering the mission field.
I know. And
I've been tempted sometimes to turn those signs around.
Because of stanza three.
Yeah.
So why don't you read stanza three?
Okay. Oh, gently call those gone astray, that they may find the saving way. Let every conscience sore oppressed in you find peace and heavenly rest. Now, I get that the person who's been exposed to the gospel, and in fact, they may have been in the fold, but they've gone astray.
Yes,
and maybe they're troubled with their conscience. Their conscience is sore oppressed, and in Christ, who saves us by grace alone through faith in Him alone we find that rest.
Yes, it's kind of interesting that in most Lutheran, even Church Missouri Synod congregations, only about a third of the people show up every Sunday.
Yeah, that's sad but true, right?
Well, there are a pretty good amount that aren't showing up because they work Sundays.
They can't.
Or they're sick, shut in.
They're
on vacation.
Unable to make it, right.
Right, or something, or weather. By the way, did you have church Sunday?
Oh, yes, we did. Yeah. Yes. Well, but let me tell you, we seriously considered, calling it off, especially Sunday. Now, Saturday night the weather was fine, and we made it no problem. But Sunday, I thought very seriously. We knew we were supposed to get a new batch of that freezing rain. That freezing rain is just terrible. If it's icy, it's just dangerous out there. Not just on the highways, but in the parking lot.
But it really didn't.
It wasn't that bad. I'm glad we had it both times.
Right, because you have two services.
Yes, we do. Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. Well, on Sunday, you only have one service?
One service, right.
Okay. Yeah. We at Trinity Orchard Farm, we had two services.
I thought about you out there. I wonder if you were going to have it.
Did you have it? The president phoned me really early, so I left at midnight and I just made it.
Now,
I'm kidding.
No, let me ask. Is the question whether you're going to have church, is that out of your hands? Does somebody else decide that issue, or do they leave the decision finally with you? I'm curious.
No, I think it should be in a situation that I'm working with, because I'm just kind of interim pastor.
Right, right.
And I'm not in the area.
Yeah, that's right.
So the president actually drove around a bit. He said, really? Before he phoned me, yes.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, and he only slid in the ditch twice. So he called me and said, we're having church. No, he didn't slide in the ditch.
Boy, that is a dedicated leader of the church.
Oh, absolutely.
I went out about 4 a.m.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because I wanted to see if the freezing rain was really sticking to everything.
Right.
And it, a little bit on the middle part of the car, but windshield it wasn't, sticking that much, and the driveway was pretty clear. So I just wanted to see how it was.
Yeah. Yeah, Louise had covered all the cars, And then, of course, the covers stuck to the car. So I was driving down the street with the front window totally covered. I couldn't see anything.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But nobody was on the road, so.
That's good.
Oh, don't believe me if I'm not in a pulpit. Okay.
No, but getting back to the hymn, you can definitely tell there's a difference.
Yes.
Between the third verse and the first and second. The third verse is of people that have heard the gospel before, and yet their error has led them astray.
Would you agree that not only sometimes there's a low percentage in church, but there are a number of people who haven't come for months?
Oh, yes.
We call them delinquents.
Yes.
Yes. And that's probably some of the hardest people to get a hold of. And I'll tell you why. Not many people have landlines anymore.
Boy, you are right.
Yes.
Some of them done away with them entirely.
Yes. And they have cell phones, which you can't get a hold of. You don't know how to. They're not under a listing anywhere.
Right.
Plus, those now who have landlines, and maybe it was because of the election, tend not to answer because you can see who's calling you.
Yeah. Oh, that's Pastor Baker. Don't call. Don't answer.
Yeah.
Pastor Baker's calling.
Yeah, Pastor Baker's calling. No, normally they answer when I call because my name's on there. But the ones whose names aren't. I mean, how many times have I answered something like that and I've got a trip to the Caribbean on a boat or something like that? Oh, thanks a lot. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, I've called people too that, I thought I'd reach them. Here they're on vacation, out of state somewhere.
Yes.
Or they're driving on the road somewhere out of state.
Or you'll go to a home of someone who hasn't been to church for a few years, knock on the door, and the people who come to the door don't even know who they were.
that's pretty sad.
We bought the house a year and a half ago, and kind of thing. So it's difficult. I'll tell you, when I was a pastor at St. James, I had 3 years in a row where every member communed once during the year. That was always a goal of mine.
Uh-huh.
And I remember one church that our good friend Peter Kurowski went to. There were 1,200-plus souls, and the average attendance was a 160.
Wow. That must have been Trinity Hoyleton. Wasn't that where he was?
No. That was a good congregation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, it was up in Chicago area.
Chicago. Mm-hmm.
But be that as it may, that's really difficult when you say we have so many members. How many of them are active? That's a more difficult number to find. But, we are pretty active. Trinity Orchard Farm helps with the program, but also does Concordia Mission Society. And I have in my hand now a $25,000 check that's going to the Synod for work in with a man named Johnson and Gennady.
That's from the Concordia Mission Society?
Yeah, right.
Wow, great. Yeah.
So we really appreciate those who do that. And in fact, we gave last year almost $90,000 to them.
Super.
So this is why this is such an important hymn. Let me read the fourth stanza. Shine on the darkened and the cold. Recall the wanderers to your fold. Unite all those who walk apart. Confirm the weak and doubting heart. Now, what category are those people?
Well, now, like for instance, this is a little bit different. Unite all those who walk apart. Here he's talking about, you know, the Holy Spirit also has a way of strengthening our fellowship. You know, as a synod, we walk together. And, of course, we don't walk together with all
other denominations,
right? And so this, so the Holy Spirit also has a way of uniting us in confession, in fellowship.
Yes, just recently I had a couple. One's Lutheran, the other is not, and we went through 5 or 6 weeks together. And the one who wasn't Lutheran was pretty strong in the faith of his particular denomination. At the end of those 5 weeks, I asked him, and he says, well, he was right now kind of confused, which I thought was a real success, you know, from being certain. And so I told him that the two of them needed to go to adult instruction at the other church.
At the other church.
Yes. And listen to hear the arguments and see if what I had said was true or not. Now, the other church, where we were disagreeing with each other, is because the other church, its leaders had used reason rather than scripture. And so I was just making a very simple point. Listen to the scripture that they quote, which there is none for that particular wrong point of view. But through the Holy Spirit, that's how things happen. They first of all begin to question what they do believe, and then finally the Holy Spirit may move them around in order to come to a proper understanding.
And sometimes that takes a while, too.
Oh, yes. And then there's all kinds of items. Occasionally you'll run into someone who does agree with us, but because of parents,
right,
they don't want to make the change until after their parents die or something like that. And that reminds me, he who loves mother or father more than me.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so you don't judge there, but you give them the time. And so that's the kinds of people, that's not bad what you say there, that these are folks who may be Christian, but not in fellowship with...
It says, confirm the weak and doubting heart. You know, they, yeah, like you say, they're Christian, but they may be plagued with doubts.
Yes, and are weak. And almost all Christians go through that.
Sure.
Somebody close to you dies, and you wonder, God, why did you do that?
Right, you get angry at God.
That's correct sometimes. So that's an interesting one. Go ahead on your fifth stanza.
Now this one is kind of draws it all together. Then they with us may evermore such grace with wandering thanks adore, and endless praise to you be given by all your church in earth and heaven, the Holy Christian Church, right?
Yes.
In fact, the communion of saints, earth and heaven, it says.
Yeah, there's some people who think communion of saints can also be translated the close fellowship of holy things, and they think it's referring to the Lord's Supper. We call it Holy Communion.
Right, right.
Yeah, communion of saints. But I think it's referring to the church.
Church, the Holy Christian Church, both church triumphant as well as the church militant here on earth, right?
Yes. And notice what the motivation is for them to finally cling to God's word. Such grace.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I agree.
What is grace?
Forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation.
Yes. So I always like to talk about that grace is that which you don't deserve.
That's right. You talk about mercy. Isn't that right? You distinguish between mercy and grace.
And justice.
And justice.
Yes.
Justice we don't want because we would all be lost and damned.
Yeah, justice is what you deserve.
Right.
Mercy is not getting what you deserve.
Mercy is not getting what you deserve.
And grace is getting.
Getting.
What you don't
deserve. What you don't deserve.
Yeah. You got to get the negatives.
I wish I could remember those things as you do.
Yeah, you have short-term memory loss. I don't know. This would be long-term memory loss. An endless praise to you be given by all your church in earth and heaven. Now, that's really where the endless praise will come, is in heaven. Because here on earth, we sometimes interrupt our praise with sin.
Right.
And that sin, of course, is contrary to praise. So what this hymn does then, and as you said, it was written in 1647, the gentleman died. And you can see even back there, the purpose of Lutheran theology was both mission and witness.
Right.
How do you do that at your church?
Well, of course, we support our missionaries.
Yes.
We've got two missionaries right now that we're supporting with our gifts.
How did you do last Sunday? It was pro-life. Did you have pro-life?
Yeah, I did. I preached on that topic
Good.
Of pro-life, right.
Yes.
I can't say I do that every year, but yeah. I did it this year. I feel like, you know, periodically you have to remind your congregation.
Well, we have a number who went to Washington, D.C.,
right.
This sort of thing, from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and I haven't heard yet any results from that.
I haven't either.
Unless it's next Sunday. I can't even
well,
remember.
Well, yeah, well, don't forget there's the inauguration coming up. I don't know if it would have been a good time to go.
Why would they be inaugurating Harrison again? He already got elected.
Come on.
Huh? What?
You know who's being inaugurated. Come on.
Inaugurated.
President Trump.
Oh.
President-elect Trump.
Oh, he got elected?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. So
people are going to draw the wrong conclusion from your comments, Tom.
How so?
The fact that you act like you've never heard of him.
No. I hear him. We play cards a lot, and, you know, like Trump.
Yeah.
Trump, yeah. Oh, Christ, our true and only light, therefore. Are you going to use it this Sunday?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I always try to use the appointed hymn. I mean, if it's a really difficult melody, I may not, but this one is a winner.
Yeah, this the gospel, of course, is talking about that Jesus went to the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a
great light.
And see, that's exactly
yes.
what this hymn is talking about. O Christ, our true and only light, from Matthew 4. Which is interesting, because when you look at the bottom of the page here for the hymn, the Matthew 4 isn't even listed as one of the texts. And it makes my point again and again that many of these hymns, you can have 30 or 40 texts.
Oh, right. I know.
Because every phrase can come from a different area.
And they always apply. They're always applicable.
That's right. Yeah, that's why when somebody says, I didn't think that was very good service, a worship service, and you know they're talking about the sermon, I always say, didn't you read the hymns?
That's right.
When you were singing them?
And the liturgy. If the sermon is lousy, and you know, we all have our bad days. Sermon writers, yeah. Sermon preachers always have our bad days. And if the sermon is lousy, you've still got the hymnody.
And the liturgy.
You've got a sermon in every hymn, and you've got the liturgy. You've got all the wrappings.
And the readings.
Exactly. I know.
And the prayers. You're
always going to...
And the sacraments.
Exactly.
So...
So there's always plenty to walk away with.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. So...
No excuse.
That's what we have to really make clear to our people, that nothing is more important than the proper means of grace. And that everything the pastor does has got to be involved with that word and sacrament ministry. So, today I'm going to be going right after this. I've got youth confirmation in the parochial school and then the public school tonight.
Do you actually go into the parochial school to teach?
Oh, yes.
You do? You teach in the classroom?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Because they have not only blackboards and such, but they also have video.
Oh,
I bring
yeah.
video a lot of times.
Yeah.
Show them things. So, when are you preaching?
Well, we have service Saturday at 5 p.m. 5 p.m. Saturday, and Sunday morning at 9 a.m., Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood, located just south of the Watson-New Sappington intersection.
And God willing, we'll be together again next Tuesday.
Right.
Okay. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow, Insight Wednesday, where we're going to be looking at readings. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.